Waiheke Radio. Item Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. And today, a first, we're broadcasting live from the Ostend Market. Do come on down and see us and see how it's all done. We've got some interviews lined up for you this morning from John Ewer talking about the upcoming beach races. We'll talk to John Hawksby about tonight's Let It Be concert at Pai Mallam Bay, and we'll find out what's happening for bus charges for commuters on a monthly pass. All of that coming up, plus we'll take a look at what's on at the movies, we'll take a look at the weather, and yeah, stay tuned. Come down and join us at Ostend Markets. Okay, so we're here at the Ostend Markets and playing a track at the moment from the Everly Brothers. This is Illinois. Phil Everly passed away in just the last week, and in a moment I'm going to be talking to a Waiheke local who knew Phil, and we'll talk about her connection with him. So let's take a listen to this. This is Illinois from the Everly Brothers. That leads all the rest. Chicago, the trains roll into the station, the heart of the nation, the start of the West in
Illinois. Hangs over the prairie. Feel the soft winds of spring chase the chill from the air. Bright August mornings and the warm summer rainfall on brisk autumn days with the harvester's shack in Illinois. That's
Illinois from the Everly Brothers, and I'm here with Michelle Barber, who knew Phil, didn't you, Michelle?
I did.
So we'll just... There we go. So tell us about your connection to Phil Everly.
My stepfather, Joe, played bass for the Everly Brothers for a year, well, probably throughout the 60s. And then when Phil and Don broke up in 1973, Joe continued to play with Phil and to write music with him, and wrote a couple of songs, one for Tanya Tucker and one for Linda Ronstadt. And we were just there all the time at his house while they played music and did what they did as rock and roll stars. And swam in the pool is what I did for 10 years at Phil Everly's house. But he was a lovely man, lovely, lovely southern gentleman.
And you've sung with him, haven't you?
I have, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's something special to...
They used to bring all the kids on stage, his two sons, Jason and Chris, and then Don's kids, Eden and Aaron Everly, and he used to bring all of us on stage and sing with him at various shows around L.A. Yeah, it was cool.
Cool. So any other kind of rock and roll royalty that you used to hang out with back in the day?
Yeah. Kind of major producers like Snuff Garrett and Linda Ronstadt would hang out a bit. Emmy Lou I've met a few times. My stepdad Joe had a good connection with some of the Stones, and Keith Richards would come over and hang out at Phil's house. Yeah.
Keith Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just kind of easygoing family times then.
That was it. That was it.
Excellent. Yeah. So it must have been a kind of a sad moment for you last week to learn that Phil had gone.
Yeah, it was actually. And I, being from Los Angeles and living, in New Zealand, you miss out on a lot of things and stuff. People die and stuff happens. And the last time we were in LA, I didn't go by and see Phil, which I kind of, just 2 days before he died, I said to Brent, oh, I wish we had gone by to see him. And then we found out that he passed away.
Yeah.
2 days later. So yeah, it was a real shock, and it was too bad that we didn't kind of see him kind of recently to say goodbye.
Well, I know his music has touched lots of people, so it's nice to be able to kind of get that kind of personal stories and background to it. So thanks for popping by this morning.
No problem.
And we're gonna listen to another track now. We're gonna listen to Shady Grove.
Beyond this maze of city streets, beyond these painted faces, there's a road that leads to cool green fields and girls that dress in laces. Everyone has a front porch swing, every house a parlor. When your throat is dry and parched with thirst, there's more than just spring water. Shady Grove, my little miss, Shady Grove, my darling, Shady Grove, my little miss, come with me to Harlem. Chestnut hair in the morning sun, looks like it's on fire. She's long, she's lean, she won't run. She fills me with desire. Kentucky eyes look up at me from a bed of yellow daisies. The sun is warm, the kiss is hot. She's gonna drive me crazy. Shady Grove, my little miss, Shady Grove, my darling, Shady Grove, my little miss, come with me to Harlem. Shady Grove, my little miss, Shady Grove, my darling, Shady Grove, my little miss, come with me to Harlem. Shady Grove, my little miss, Shady Grove, my darling, Shady Grove, my little miss, come with me to Harlem.
Tomorrow at 7:15, we'll be here as usual. And then at 10:15, there's Mom and Dad. I don't get to hear that, but I just hope you folks will hear it, though.
What about tomorrow?
10:15. It'll be on here at 10:15. Phil and I just be down here, too. So we might as well just say so long for now. Thank you, folks, for listening, and tune in tomorrow at 7:15 and 10:15.
This is Elle from the Saturday Morning Breakfast Show, and you're tuned into Waiheke Radio. Listen if you can.
And you're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio. This morning we're broadcasting live from the Ostend Market. Come down and take a look and see how volunteer community radio is made. And you can support the station as well by picking up some items from our stall. I'm talking now with John Ewer, who's the chair of the organising committee from Waiheke Rotary, organising the upcoming beach races. How are you, John?
I'm very well, thank you, Chris, and very happy to be here.
Yeah, so the beach races is a big event. You must be well underway with the organisation by now.
Yes, it is, and we rely heavily on volunteers entirely for this, and we start about 9 months out. And we're sort of on a countdown to the 2nd of March, which is the date for the races this year.
So you're still looking for volunteers and helpers?
Yes, we're always looking for volunteers because it's entirely run by volunteers. And when you get about 7,000 people on the beach at one time, it's quite tricky to keep everybody in the right place, particularly as we're running horses and tractors and so on right through the middle of them.
So in recent years, the beach races, I suppose, have changed a little. We've got the traditional horse races, but we've also seen the new innovations, the Sea Legs races and so on, and perhaps a fall off in interest of some of the things like the waiters races. Are there any changes in store for this year?
Yes, we're still keeping to the same format, which is, but this year we're getting some racehorses all the way from Rotorua. And we'll be really upping the ante because these will be proper racehorses. There'll be four races with them, two pony races, you know, with the pony and trap and the pony club helping us out there. The traditional tractor race, which this year's is sponsored by Main Freight. And, of course, the largest amphibious boat race in the world, which is the Sea Legs. And they have two heats, so there'll be two races for the Sea Legs.
So it's going to be a good day. What are the kind of stuff have you got going on during the races?
Well, the event started about 10 o'clock. We do a lot of children's events, and it's really a big day out for the family. It's quite free, and we have a big dig there and with lots of prizes, buried prizes, which are given to us by our sponsors. Mad Hatter's Tea Party, a wheelbarrow race, egg and spoon race, you know, face painting, sandcastles, and running races for the children.
Okay, so what kind of ways, other than turning up on the day and buying their tickets, what kind of things can people do to support this event?
Well, we do always need volunteers, and anybody that would like to volunteer could visit our website, which is Onitangi Beach Races, and they can use that website to make contact with us. The other things that we're doing this year, we have traditionally a silent auction where we our sponsors and our donators give us prizes for that. We'll be doing stalls there. Of course, there's a large number of stalls, a bit like here. A lot of the people from the market actually come down with their stalls, and they set up along the main beachfront there. And this year also, the one of the differences, we'll have Waiheke Radio.
Yes.
And Waiheke Radio will be broadcasting live from the beach.
We will, and helping out with the comparing, and we can maintain the normal standard of low-level humour and so on.
I'm sure you will. One of the new events this year is to have lunch at the venue on the beachfront there. And last year we had a tent on the beach, but this year we've decided to raise the bar and have a very excellent lunch there, which is available for $60 a ticket.
Good stuff. So you're kind of catering from everyone from the $60 a head lunch people to the family with the sausage sizzle.
Yes, we are. And, of course, we run a TAB on the races, so there's nine races, and you can buy a race pack for that for $25, and that's available from Linda at Waiheke Vets in Tui Street. And we sell those, of course, on the day, and that gives you a chance to win a big prize if you actually win a race. And we also have a Fashion in the Fields, which is a regular event where people dress up in their best gear, and we parade up and down in front of the venue there.
And of course, you're not just doing this for the fun of it, are you?
No, this really is a kind of our major fundraising event of the year for Waiheke Rotary, and the money we gain from this event is then turned back into the community, into Waiheke community groups over the next year.
So good stuff, John. So just let us know again that contact for people who want to volunteer or help out.
Yes, if they were to visit the website, which is Onitangi Beach Races, or they can drop in at Linda at Waiheke Vets 3 Tui Street.
Great. I've been talking to John Ewer, who's the chair of the organising committee for the Onitangi Beach Races coming up on March the 2nd.
Correct.
That was lucky. Okay, thanks very much, John. Stay tuned, everyone. We're still to talk to John Hawkesby about tonight's Let It Be concert at Pymallon Bay, and we'll be joined by local board deputy chair Sharon Brown talking about what's happening with the bus tickets for commuters. Plus, we'll take a look at what's on at the movies and what's on around the island. Do come and see us, Chris and Blake, down here at Ostend Market, presenting Island Life live from the market today.
Waiheke Radio.
And this is Island Life on Waiheke Radio, live at the Ostend Markets. One of the features of the market, of course, is all the great music from local musicians. I've got two of those local musicians who have been busking and making money here this morning with us today. So I'll get you to introduce yourselves. What's your name?
Bonnie. India.
And Bonnie in India, is the market the only place that you've been performing, or have you been playing at other places around the island as well?
We've been playing at other places.
And have you been making any money?
Yes.
Can we ask how much?
$4.
Wow, that's pretty good. Enough to buy an ice cream? Are you saving it or do you go straight to the shop?
We're saving it.
Excellent. What are you saving for?
Like Spencer stuff that we really like.
Have you got anything in particular that you want to get once you've got enough money?
No.
You just see what looks good. Good stuff. And you're going to play a song for us now, aren't you? What's the song you're going to play?
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Okay, take it away, girls.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond.
Fantastic. And we've got a big hand for them from all the people here. So do you have a hat or anything for people to put their money in?
No.
So how do people pay you? There you go. There's a hat. So I'm sure everyone's going to dip into their pockets now and help these girls out with their savings. Thanks so much for playing a song for us on the radio. Is there anyone you want to say a special hello to?
No.
Mum, Dad?
Mm-mm.
You going to say hello to anyone?
No.
Okay, thanks very much, girls. You're on Waiheke Radio here at the Austin Market. Island Life is brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road in Oneroa.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
This morning, Island Life is coming to you live from the Ostend Market in Ostend, funnily enough. Our first time doing Island Life live. Do come down and check us out, see how radio is made, and also you can help out the station.
I always wondered how it was made.
Yes, yes. We're still figuring it out ourselves, but you can help out the station as well by picking up a t-shirt or a tea towel or a bag at our fundraising stall. Waiheke Radio is completely volunteer-run community station here. And we like to talk about what's going on around the island. I've got John Hawksby here with me this morning to talk about the Let It Be concert. How are you, John?
Very well, thank you. Somewhat mildly stressed, to be perfectly honest, but I'm thrilled it's such a beautiful day.
Well, who would have thought that putting on an outdoor concert, you know, at short notice in a remote location would be in the slightest bit stressful?
Well, yeah, it's logistics at the end of the day. It's not Woodstock, but there's still a lot of people to get down a long piece of fairly narrow driveway. Getting them down's okay, getting them back up. We're going to need people to be patient and humorous and just run with it. We do have a shuttle for the elderly and infirm, which is myself.
And so what are the objectives of putting on this today?
Well, the objectives are purely and simply two. One, to continue to raise the awareness, and secondly, to raise money. Unfortunately, once again, this community is forced to defend a proposition in the Environment Court. Environment Court costs money. We need to wheel in the heavyweights. We need proper legal representation. You can't just go along and say, well, I'm opposed to this because it's not going to look good. That doesn't cut the muss. So you've got to have expert witnesses. It all costs money. We're estimating somewhere between $170,000 and $200,000, which is what the last battle that we had over Matiatia against somebody mad person wanting to put an entire village down there, totally inappropriate. That's the sort of money we need to raise. To date, the community has raised about $25,000 to $30,000, mainly through small donations, which has been fabulous, but we just need to give it a bit of a push now. So the concert was a concept and an idea where it could be a celebration. It's not going to be a ranting, raving, against the marina kind of thing. It's going to be a fun thing. Lots of local artists, a few surprises, picnic atmosphere. Got all the food carts there, the wine, the coffee and all that sort of stuff. The children are free, accompanied by an adult. The ticket price is not horrendous, but it will help us. We'll probably, as a result of the concert, given the fact that we've virtually sold out, although you can, there are gate sales, it's just $25, you need cash to come in. We'll probably double our fighting fund at the moment. So that'll give us about 150, 160 grand worth. The t-shirts are selling well, Matiatia, Let It Be. and they're fabulous, and everybody looks good in them, and they're $45, and we've managed to present those and make those pretty cheaply, so there's a good margin in it, to be perfectly honest. Every single dollar's going to their legal fighting fund for the cause. So at the end of today, hopefully, with the T-shirt sales and a few other bits and pieces, our fund will have doubled. We'll be around the 100, we'll be around the 50, 60 maybe. A few donations are still pouring in. So then we'll just need $100,000. If you say it quickly, it doesn't sound too bad. I've got other initiatives lined up going into autumn as well.
But there were, I mean, a significant number of submissions that objected to the marina. You know, by far the majority was, what, around 600 of the submissions were opposed. So there must be a fairly significant groundswell of support and backup for events like this.
I think so. And I think some people have changed their mind. Initially, they were for the marina and thought it was a good idea, and I understand that. But I think a lot of people have, when they've reflected on it and when they appreciate the size, initially it was sold as a concept that was kind of boutique and just local. It's blown out to 160 berths. Now, it's not just places to park your boat. With that comes additional infrastructure, places for dangerous fuels, places to haul your boat out of the water. All of a sudden, there's a small village down there, and it's gonna be incredibly disruptive. I mean, it's a choke point now, and boats with trailers and so on, and they say, oh, it's going to be an open free space. Oh, you reckon? Those boaties will want security. It'll be closed off. We're going to lose half the bay. It's gone. That's an open space, a sacred space, and I just think it's ridiculous and insensitive and dumb. They're saying, oh, it won't be a pollution. Have you gone to have a look at the Bucklands Beach Marina or the Gulf Harbour or the Oraki and look at the quality of the water? Please give me a break.
Now, I wonder, because of that, and you know, you've raised the idea of Kennedy Point as an alternative, and I do wonder how many of the people who have signed the petitions and written the submissions saying, you know, no marina at Matiatia would be the first in line to sign the petitions, no marina at Putiki Bay, no marina at Kennedy Point.
It's a good point. There are and I don't speak for everybody, of course, but there are a significant number of people who think that a marina anywhere on the island is inappropriate, and they rightly point out that the island and its sensitive ecostructure and clean water and so on is just too small to actually sustain a large marina. And I understand that argument as well. I just think if there is going to be a marina and it is a local initiative and we must have it, it should be small, it should be very local. And I just see Kennedy Point, if I may be so bold as to say, is slightly the more industrial end of the island. It's not the major arrival and departure point. It already has a breakwater there. There are already boats there. I think it would be, there's more land available for car parking and so on. It's less congested. I think it would be, if you must have a marina, that's an appropriate place to have it. Would I be for it? I wouldn't be against it. I wouldn't be for it, but I'm certainly against any development, forget the word marina, any major development of this nature at Matiatia. It's going to kill our point of difference.
Any particular acts that you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to all of them, to be honest, because every artist tonight is donating their time and talent. Nobody's getting paid. It's costing them money to be there, and they're all giving of their time and effort. So I'm looking forward to all of them. It's very varied. It's got a very variety concert. We've got some acts that are quite complex and quite, you know, up and at it. And then we've got your more acoustic-y style. It's going to be slightly middle of the road. We've got the odd fun thing. Michael Hirst, our greatest Shakespearean actor, is doing a kind of a bit of a pee take on Shakespeare. P meaning piss. And there's going to be a few surprises. It's just very relaxed. Sit on the rug, you know, go and get a coffee, go and get a wine, go and get a pizza, go and get whatever. Share your own food with those around you and just enjoy it. It's not going to be sort of full on 3 hours, you know. You don't have to just, the music will just keep going, but if you want to get up and have a little stretch or go and say, it's that sort of free fall festival, gentle, picnic-y. It's Pye Melon Bay is the most view, without doubt, the most beautiful spot on the island. It's fabulous of Bruce Plested to open up his private home and allow what's going to be a significant number of people. We sold out of tickets. They've gone. We are doing gate sales. I don't know whether this has been a good idea, to be perfectly honest, because, you know, we don't want to overcrowd the place, but we are anticipating a huge turnout.
Yeah, and the weather's looking great for it. Southwesterly, kind of gentle southwesterly. Should be quite sheltered down there.
Perfect. And we've got it set up. We've got people will be facing where the concert is happening. We'll be looking beyond that to the water, to the beach itself. So it's all looking good, I've got to say.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for coming down.
No, my
John.
Great pleasure. Thank you very. Keep playing the Bob Dylan.
Yes, we'll see you there tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're on Waiheke Radio. This is Island Life, our weekly look at current events, issues, and people. And we're coming to you live this morning from the Ostend Market.
G'day there, Tax Dodgers. This is Jason Kerrison from Op Shop, and you are listening to Waiheke Radio.
Stop!
You're on Island Life on Waiheke Radio, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. This morning, broadcasting live from the Ostend Market. And, we're joined this morning by Sharon Brown, Deputy Chair of the Waiheke Local Board, and she's going to give us an update on what's happening with the monthly passes. There's been some significant changes. An announcement late last year that the bus travel, which people were getting on their monthly pass, was... we're just fiddling with the knobs at the same time. So I'll start that again. So late last year, we got the announcement, shock announcement, that the bus travel that people were getting as included in their monthly passes was no longer to be included. And that was going to have a significant impact on some commuters who were going on to connect to bus routes to get to work and so on. And a bit of an outcry. And it seemed to be that everyone was just kind of saying, well, look, it's not our problem, not our fault. We don't know where the problem sits. But there's been some significant changes in recent weeks, haven't there, Sharon?
Oh, yeah. Well, we had huge successes. I was so pleased. As the local board, with Mike Lee's support, we went to see Auckland Transport. And I didn't really expect anything to come of that meeting because Auckland Transport had basically said, you know, Fullers is a completely... unregulated service in terms of fares. They are not part of the legislation that involves public transport in Auckland, and therefore they can set the fares the way they like, in the same way that the airport bus does. It's a completely private service. Now, obviously, you know, a lot of us disagree with that because it does provide a public transport, public transport for people getting on and off the island, and therefore we feel should have some responsibility to the local population. So we had a discussion with Auckland Transport. They were very clear that the fact that that Fullers was deciding to no longer support the use of buses was not something that was because of the hot card transition, but was a commercial decision made by Fullers, and therefore they could continue to offer that service.
So how does it actually work? So we've got a whole lot of people, you know, we don't know how many, but probably, you know, 1,000+ people buying a monthly pass, $350 a month. And then, you know, obviously there's graduations on that with tertiary fares and all the rest of it. But so to get on the bus, you know, I've used that pass. You just show your pass, you get on the bus. The bus driver, well, usually does nothing. They don't hit a button. They don't record it anyway. But a Fuller's paying that bus fare.
Yes. So apparently what's happening is that Fuller's buy a certain number of bus fares off some of these bus companies, because they it's a kind of a legacy situation in the sense that the same company used to own Fullers and some of those bus companies, but since then have sold some of the bus companies. So they I don't know what the calculation is, but they possibly decide that, say, 300 people travel by bus regularly, and therefore they buy 300 passes off these other services, and that's what they had decided to discontinue. Having said that, Auckland Transport then went and talked to them. Lots of people, I think, were quite dissatisfied and were contacting Fullers directly. They were contacting Auckland Transport. And as a result of all of those different things working together, we managed to, well, Fuller's agreed to extend their provision of these, you know, to continue to pay for these passes so people can continue to travel on the buses. The only issue now, though, is that there have been a certain number of little, I think, teething problems, in the sense that that was in the last week before the holidays. And before then, all the bus drivers had been told that these would no longer be accepted in January. And I guess they're also quite heavily staffed because it's the holidays. There's people who might not know what's going on. Some of the messages haven't got through. So what I'm suggesting to people is that if they can, that they have it as a, you know, message from Fuller's on their phone, or they get someone else who had a message from Fuller's to forward it to them so they can show it to the bus drivers. It's up on the AT website, Auckland Transport website as well, so you can either, you know, if you've got a smartphone, access that and show it to the bus drivers. I mean, I'm supposing that in another week it'll all be sorted out, and I've also sent a message through to Auckland Transport anyway, and they're also contacting the bus companies.
So it's gone from a this can't happen, it's impossible, to a well, maybe it can happen, we'll kind of hold off and see what the options are. It's quite a significant shift.
Yes, but again, it's, you know, it's a bit of a jack-in-the-box, because the other thing I've been told is apparently this is only going on until the end of February. But some people are saying, well, no, it's going on until there's a review of all the bus fares. So it's really unclear what's going on. But I would say to people to remain vigilant. And, you know, if you've had teething problems, in a sense, that's a sign of things to come, because if the bus fares, you know, are no longer included, we're all going to be paying, you know, $3.50, $5.50 to get to where we're going per ticket. So my suggestion is that we need a strong lobby group. And the first step might be to join Fuller's Watch. It's been a page that's been going, look, I can't say exactly, but at least 3 or 4 years, I would say now. And to show that, you know, there is interest in the Waiheke service being a public transport service, and that we do use it as such, and there are certain responsibilities involved in that.
So having been involved in that meeting, which brought together, you know, so elected officials, Fuller's, Auckland Transport, you know, that lobby group, where would they need to focus their attention? Is it on Fuller's? Is it on Auckland Transport? Is it on the political decision makers, or is it on all three?
Yeah, look, there are lots of different things that need to be done. I think, firstly, this issue has been taken to the Commerce Commission on a number of occasions, and the main issue is that it's Fuller's, to some of us, seems to operate a monopoly service, in the sense that they are the only service that operates between Auckland Central and Maitiatia. However, the Monopolies Commission say, well, it's not a monopoly because you can get a ferry from Half Moon Bay to Kennedy Point. So I think that could be possibly challenged. Secondly, Fuller's lobbied quite strongly to be out of integrated ticketing. And to be honest, I think if you know, Waiheke is part of Auckland Central, we're part of Auckland Council, then there's no reason why 8,000 people should be seen as not being part or not having access to public transport options, which includes the possibility of subsidies if other parts of Auckland Transport are getting it. And then, of course, you know, I'd really like to see us engage in a really good dialogue with Fuller's to say, yes, we understand you're a commercial service, you are unregulated at present, but, you know, we are the second poorest local board area in Auckland, and, you know, the cost of travel is really significant to us. And, you know, our work opportunities are on the island, but they are also in town. People get sick, they need to travel. And it's just generally too expensive. And if we want to maintain a diverse community, we just need to be really careful that the prices of ferries don't escalate out of control, as they are already for many people.
So this was a surprise. I mean, you were at that meeting. I mean, what was your reaction when the meeting turned in that way, and people said, well, okay, we'll turn it around?
Right, I'd like to say I was listening, but my daughter's trying to hit on me for money because I'm sitting in the middle of the market and look like I'm in a potentially vulnerable situation. So you might actually have to repeat that question.
Yeah. I mean, we are in the middle of the market. There's a whole lot of people around here, and yeah, kids are after money for ice creams and lollies and food, as they do. So
yes, and isn't it amazing? I have to say, it's really quite exciting. It's kind of hard to concentrate, but it's just so amazing to look around and just see all these people and be here. This is great. Well done, guys.
Well, it is a bit like being in a glass house. But anyway, let's get back to the interview.
Yeah. Oh, yes, go on.
So you're in this meeting.
Yeah.
We've been told, no, nothing can happen. What was the feeling like when people just said, well, okay, we'll change your mind then. We'll do it.
Ah, you see, no, there was no commitment at the meeting. The commitment was that, you know, they would talk to Fullers. And, you know, I was a little bit disappointed that the meeting had been set for the week before the Christmas holidays, and I had really no expectations on it. So it was more that I think on the basis of the messages they'd received and the fact that we were in there, that they then decided to do something. And honestly, I was really gobsmacked that there was any change. But I think it does go to show that if we work together, there is huge interest from, you know, Auckland Transport in creating appropriate transport options from us.
Well, it's good news for commuters, and even though, you know, it may be at the moment a temporary reprieve, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of very relieved people, you know, going back to work this coming week or in the past week, you know, coming out of Christmas and not having that kind of potential to be forking out hundreds of more dollars per month. Mm,
absolutely, because, you know, if you're paying at $350, to add a potential $200 or $300 on top of that is actually really, really significant. And, I mean, the other thing I spoke to Auckland Transport about is like, okay, well, if the fares were to go through and they were to put the prices up, you know, people on Waikiki have already paid $350, so why shouldn't they get their, you know, the additional bus passes that they need at a cheaper rate or at a subsidised rate? I mean, once you're computerising things, it's just a question of pressing a button.
Oh, well, it's good news, and we'll watch the space and hope that other stuff is going on. Now, there's some other issues going on in the transport field at the moment as well, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, right. So the interesting one for Waiheke is that Pier 2 is now going to be closed. The work's going to be starting on that quite soon. So that's going to be a closed waiting area, which has been something that a lot of people have been really, you know, pushing for, both Waiheke residents, but also, you know, if you're coming in as a visitor, you don't know exactly when the ferries are. You come in, you're waiting for the ferry. You might be potentially waiting for up to an hour with luggage, and it's quite nice to wait in a sheltered space. So that's really great. The other thing that's happening is that next week the Ironman competition is taking place in Central Auckland. That's on Sunday, and that's an initiative from Auckland Tourism. It does mean that people are going to be swimming, running, and I don't know what else they do. Do they cycle? I'm not sure. But in any case, there are going to be millions of people in Central Auckland. So if you want to go and support the event, it's fabulous because it's just going to be on our doorstep and, you know, an amazing opportunity to just get out there and not have to look for parking on the other side. However, if you do have things to actually do in Auckland or are trying to get across Auckland, I would suggest that you don't try and do that on Sunday because they've organised an overpass. But that's obviously not going to work for families with children and people with heaps of luggage. So they have said they'll have a gate which will allow you to cross. But, you know, the buses will probably be redirected to Albert Street and other places. And it's just going to be, you know, just not pleasant. Not to mention how are people going to get picked up. So, yeah, probably not the best day to travel.
Yeah. So that was this Sunday?
Or not tomorrow. Next week.
Right. The
19th, is it?
No.
No? The...
No, it's the... It's the 13th today, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. Next Sunday.
Okay, next Sunday. Yeah, not
whatever.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow's okay.
Finger on the pulse, facts at our fingertips. That's us here on Waiheke Radio.
Lovely.
Cool. Well, I've been talking to Sharon Brown, the deputy chair of the local board. Well done for advocating on our behalf around those commuter issues. And let's hope
thank
that
you.
We see some more movement there.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
Thank you. So turn her off, keep me on, I think. So we're winding things up here down at the market in Ostend. We've been broadcasting live for the first time from the Ostend market this morning. Thank you very much to the Humble Pie Village Butchery for their support of the show. Thank you very much to Blake, who's done all the engineering and production and done a fantastic job of getting the show out from the market to the airwaves. Thank you very much for tuning in. And our guests this morning on the show, we talked to John Ewer from Waiheke Rotary. You can go to the website onitangibeachraces.co.nz and find out how you can be a volunteer for the beach races, which are on March the 2nd. And we also talked to John Hawkesby about the Let It Be concert, which is on this afternoon. You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by the Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onioroa.